Good morning, church family. My name is Michael Gwynn, and this morning's scripture reading is going to come from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate their knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refuse to listen. Because you have ignored all my counsel, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer, and they will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Thank you, Michael. It's a great joy to be able to be with my church family this morning, I consider it a privilege to be able to be up here sharing with you something, a message from the scriptures. Jack, I'm going to miss you, buddy. But what a way to go out. The muscle of Jesus? I mean, I was kind of hoping that was going to be me one day, but the reality is maybe receding hairline of Jesus or something like that. It's probably better set my expectations rightly. I do want to thank Todd. Last couple weeks he's been saying that he wanted to give some of the younger guys in the church an opportunity to preach. And I really appreciate that, because outside of Abe, since I've been at Fellowship, I think I'm the oldest person to be up here preaching. So that's going to serve me well as I get older and look in the mirror and my joints hurt. I'm going to remember, no, Todd said, I'm one of the young guys, and I get an opportunity to preach. A lot of people didn't know this, but as Todd mentioned before, I actually moved to Louisville to go to Bible college and to study, to get a biblical studies degree, and I wanted to be a pastor. I met my wife, Heather, there in Bible college, and we kind of changed our course and moved over to Italy, had our two oldest children, Micah and Isaac, right there in Italy, and we served there for 3 years, and it is the last time that I have preached. Was 14 years ago. With George W. at the helm here in the States. I can relate a lot to George W. Bush, because I feel like he just was very unpolished. And, you know, there's that classic quote where he's trying to say, there's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's here in Texas, or Tennessee or Texas, whatever. It fool me once, shame on you. Fool me. You can't fool me twice. We just love that about George W. Bush, because, you know, regardless of what you thought about his politics, he was just a man up on a stage making mistakes, you know, and that's kind of like what it's going to be like this morning for y'all. I've been told that I use my hands a lot when I talk. I probably do a lot of this. You'll probably see some of that. Some people say I do a lot of this. I don't know. But if I do a lot of this, it's a very Italian thing to do, or a lot of this, you know, that's a very Italian thing. So some of that stuff might come up. We'll see. But go easy on me. You know, it's 14 years, and we'll just see. I pray the Lord uses it. What I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to take a little bit of a look in Proverbs 1, as Michael read for us, and then in the brief time that we have, I'd like to turn just to application from the New Testament. So I hope it's a blessing to you. I know it has been for me. Let's see here. Don't know what time I started. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we don't know what to pray, but we do know that we need you, and so we can pray for that. Throughout the history of mankind, you have called out to us, and we need help because sometimes we can't hear that call, and we so desperately need to hear it so that we can have life. And so we ask this morning, wherever we are here this morning, that you would give us ears to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we all seek after wisdom, don't we? Some people seek after financial wisdom, tune into the Dave Ramsey show, talk to their financial advisors. And the reason they do that is because they're trying to pursue somebody that knows a lot about something to inform them of how they should use their resources. You know, it happens all the time. We listen to podcasts galore. Some people seek wisdom in sports. Parents across America sign their kids up for baseball and soccer and football camps, or have a personal trainer for their young kid. And the reason why I do that is because usually the person teaching that has been, they've been through that sport. They know what it takes to succeed. And the parents, rightly so, they want their kids to succeed. They don't want them to fall prey to the pitfalls of this sport if they don't follow this advice. They want them to be full of knowledge so that they can pursue wisdom in that sport. I like to golf, and you know, there's even instructors that can help you with your golf swing and help you with course management so that when you're out on the course, you can make the right decisions, the wise decisions, to have a good score. I golf a lot with Corey and Todd and Quentin, and they probably wish that I would pursue a little bit more wisdom in golf, because it's pretty brutal thing to watch me out there. I'm not a very good golfer. I am better than Lee. I got that going for me. Probably most of you are better than Lee, so just kidding. I asked him if I could do that. I don't just pull punches up here. I asked him if I could. He said yes. But yeah, we do this. We seek for wisdom. We want the best experience in this life, no matter what it is. Maybe we want to seek wisdom in our marriage. Listen to podcasts, read books, learn how to better communicate with our spouse. Maybe it's parenting. We want the best for our kids. We want to raise them in a way so that they're not spoiled brats when they move out of the house. And we seek wisdom. We ask advice from neighbors and friends and godly influences in our lives. We're all seeking wisdom. And my point in that is not that those things are bad to pursue: financial wisdom, sports wisdom, parenting, marriage. Those things are not bad. And so don't hear me say that. But sometimes I wonder if we give the same amount or more of our time and energy seeking after the wisdom that God has to offer. And are we seeking it in the right places? So Proverbs. What do we know about Proverbs? Well, we know that it was written by Solomon, and it was primarily written so that it could offer up wisdom to his hearers. Okay, who is Solomon? I know that not everybody grew up in church. I know some of you I've heard of Solomon. But Solomon was the son of King David, king of Israel. And Solomon was the king after his father David for 40 years. He was undoubtedly known for a couple things. He was known for his great wealth. It's told to us in Scripture that he collected about, if my translation is accurate, about 20 tons of gold every year as tribute during his 40 years of being king. So that's a lot of money. In today's value, if you were to ask what is Solomon's net worth on Google, this is what it would say. It would say that it was about $2 trillion. So we don't have any trillionaires today. And in kind of like the span of richest people in the world, Solomon's like top five from what I can see. You got like Caesar Augustus, and you've got like Genghis Khan, and Solomon's up there. So he's a very wealthy, wealthy individual. He is also known for his wisdom. Let's see here. I think that's all I want to say about that. So what does a man who is one of the wealthiest men, and one thing that comes with wealth is a lot of power. You have the ability to just do whatever you want, really. To buy whatever you want, to go wherever you want, not to have a budget, not to have to think about anything that you're wanting to do. It almost kind of, if you have enough wealth, I would imagine that people with a lot of wealth almost feel like they are their own God because they just control everything in their world. Solomon had a visitor once, and I let me pause here real quick. I'm sorry. Brandon Queen was on me. He was sending me like emails about like, hey man, looking forward to you preaching, but you know, get this stuff in by this date and this stuff in this date. And I was just kind of like struggling. I mean, it'd been 14 years. I'm like trying to pull together scriptures and stuff like that. And I wanted to have like slides up here and like little YouTube videos and stuff like that, but none of that's going to happen this morning. I got to read all my own scripture. It's not going to be up there. So if you're really quick at turning in your Bible to the next passage, you can read along. Otherwise, you're just going to have to listen to me read it. But one thing we know about Solomon is he was visited by the Queen of Sheba. 1 Kings 10, verse 10. Now the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. She came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels bearing spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. And Solomon answered all her questions, and there was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, the attendants of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and his burnt offerings that he had offered at the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her. She was speechless. And then she said to the king, "The report is true that I have heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom. But I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpassed the report that I had heard. Happy, happy are your men. Happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever and he has made you king that you may execute justice and righteousness." I want to focus in on that verse there. Happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. See, wisdom leads God's people to blessing. Wisdom gets us surrounded by good things. And it leads us in the presence of good things. And that's what the Queen of Sheba could see, that this is a place of blessing to be this close to wisdom. So what was Solomon's view of wisdom? Here you have one of the most powerful men in all of history. What was his view of wisdom? And for this, Proverbs 3, Proverbs 3, verse 13, Solomon says, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her, from wisdom, is better than the gain from silver, and her profit is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her." So wisdom is greater than all of wealth. The richest man in history, or one of the richest men in history. And what does he say to his son to impart some knowledge or some insight about how to succeed in this life? He says, whatever you're pursuing, just know this, that to have wisdom is greater than being one of the greatest, richest men in all of history. Have that if you have nothing else, because it's greater than silver. It's greater than gold. So Solomon says that wisdom is better than wealth. And what else does he say? In verse 21, same chapter, "My son, don't lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul, an adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." Wisdom is greater than wealth, and wisdom has the ability to keep you safe. Your confidence will be in the Lord, and you will be safe. And Israel needed to hear that, right? Because Israel was always looking for greater ways, greater experience in this life. That's why they were always turning to other gods. When they were surrounded, they're like, oh, let's go see what this God has to offer, you know? My wife hasn't been able to have a baby, so let's pray to this God of fertility, you know, just try this. Or, you know, maybe it was a time of drought. Well, let me pray to the God of rain or whatever. And they were just always messing around with other gods. And so time and time again in Scripture, what you have is just this call back to the God, to Yahweh, just because there's nothing greater. There's no gold that's greater than God. And that wisdom, and he has the ability to keep you safe. It brings us close to God, wisdom. Deuteronomy 4. I know we're going to get to Proverbs 1 real quickly. But Deuteronomy 4, Moses talking to the Israelites, verse 1. Says, "And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you and do them, that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, is giving you. And you shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord, let's check this out. For the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor. But you held fast to the Lord your God and are alive today. See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them, keep these commandments, keep these statutes, keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who when they hear all these statutes will say, surely this nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call on him?" See, wisdom has the ability to not only be greater than wealth, but to keep us safe. And why does it do that? Why is it better than wealth? And why does it keep us safe? It's because it means that we are close to God. That is our wisdom. It leads us to life. So, Proverbs 1. Thank you, Michael, for reading. Might have already thanked you. Can't really remember. Proverbs 1. Wisdom here is personified as a lady that goes out into the streets to proclaim a message. And I don't have a lot here. This is a pretty simple passage, but I've got kind of like three things to see. You've got like the invitation of wisdom here in verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the streets, in the markets. She raises her voice. At the head of noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? The first thing that we learn here from this invitation, that it's really available to anybody. Wisdom just goes out into the streets and proclaims her message. You can imagine what the streets would have been like. You've been to marketplaces. I don't know if you've been to marketplaces in other countries, but sometimes it can be a little chaotic. There's people bartering. There's kids playing. There's people, you know, maybe getting caught stealing over here. Or there's some type of con artist trying to, like, steal, you know, take your money. Heather and I have a funny story about that. In Italy, you can ask me later. I got taken advantage of when I was young. Lost 50 euro, but anyway, maybe I should just tell a story now. No. Well, you can ask me later. Yeah. But there's lots of stuff going on at the markets, and you can imagine you're just going to the market to buy bread or to buy, you know, groceries for tonight's dinner. You're not going to listen to, like, the sidewalk preacher. So there's lots of distractions. But wisdom's invitation is for anybody who has ears to hear her message, okay? Anybody in here, anybody in the marketplace who has ears to hear her message, it's for them. It's an open invitation. And it's for anybody who wants something different. Maybe they went to the marketplace looking just for bread or for groceries, but they're intrigued by what wisdom is proclaiming here. So the invitation is available for anybody with ears and anybody who wants something different. And then the second thing, we see the promise of wisdom. Verse 23, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Turn at my reproof. What is that? So reproof often goes alongside with, like, correction. It's basically when you see someone doing something that is leading them in the wrong direction or a hurtful or a dangerous situation, you make known to them their peril in hopes that they listen to that rebuke or that reproof and they change their course and they go in a safe direction. Basically, repentance. And what is the reward for that, or what is the promise of that? Listening to the reproof and turning is that he will pour out your spirit upon you. It's basically a call to life. If you will turn, if you will listen, if you will heed my warning, you can have life. And then the third thing that we see in this passage is the danger of rejecting wisdom. Verses 24 on. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge. And they did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel, and despised all of my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and have their fill of their own devices. I love how Scripture gives us true things, but oftentimes in wisdom and poetic, you know, books of the Bible, it kind of gives it to us in such a beautiful format. And that's kind of like what's happening here. If you follow along, if I had a diagram, I'd put it up there, but I would just have to use like my hands here. So he says, when I call, when I stretch out my hand, down, if you refuse, if you don't listen, if you mock, there will be calamity. When there is that calamity, I will refuse. I won't listen. I will mock. When you call and when you stretch out your hand. The truth of the matter is, we don't know how much time we have to listen to God's call, to God's wisdom that's proclaimed. We don't. Could be leaving here today, and I could be jamming to my tunes and try to make a left-hand turn onto Westport Road and just get smashed. None of us know who amongst us in here next year will have stage 4 fill-in-the-blank cancer. We just don't know how many days we have. And the beautiful thing is that if the good news here is if you have the ability to hear what Solomon is saying here or what God is saying, there's still time for you. If you have the ability to hear and you want something different, today is the day. Don't put off responding to wisdom's call. A few months back, we had to put down our dog, Josie. And Josie was a great dog. If you met Josie, you loved her. She was the sweetest dog. She had her things that drove us nuts. You know, I'm not going to lie. Never tried to end her life early or anything like that. But she was a great dog. And we had her for 12 years. We got her right before Silas was born, and just a very great pet to have in the family. But one of the things that I noticed a couple months before Josie, we had to put her down, was that she lost the ability to hear. And she could be standing right off of the porch, and I could be calling to her, Josie, it's raining. I want you to come inside the house, Josie. And nothing. The only way that she would be able to come back in the house is if she like had to go and get in front of her, you know, like, hey, we'll go back in the house. And the weird thing about that was that just we never saw her loss of hearing coming. We didn't know the day before that this is the last day that she can hear her owner's voice. Have you ever like stopped and wondered like, I wonder why like this person was kind of like following Jesus and then I kind of look and like now they just kind of like want to have nothing to do with Jesus. And sometimes it can just be like a slow process of a deafening of the ability or a loss of the ability to hear. And so the point and the application here is if you have the ability to hear, if you can hear the message that God is saying this morning, today is the day. You don't know if you have tomorrow. There might be that time that comes where you stretch out your hand and it's just too late. Okay, so Proverbs 1, I want to turn briefly to the New Testament. I'm almost done, I promise. You know, those poor people in Italy, it was so bad, y'all. It was, because if you can imagine, like, I had to, like, when I first got there, I would like preach in English and I'd have some expert Italian over there, but blah, 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 you know, and they're like saying it and it's going quick and I can say exactly what I want to say. But as someone that learned Italian and then translated my English sermon into Italian and wrote it all down, it did save a lot of time because you don't have two people saying the same thing. But it just must have been so brutal because I had like the Italian of like a third grader, you know what I mean? And I read the whole thing. So I was basically up there and it would have sounded something like, and so what we know is God is good and God really good is. So rejoice with me because God is good. Like that's what the whole, so it just would have been brutal. Anyway, back to the New Testament. So you have the call of wisdom. The call of wisdom. Wisdom is greater than wealth. Wisdom can lead us to safety. Wisdom is our confidence will be in God, and it brings us closer to God. It brings us closer to life. Matthew 12, verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, said, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south," and that is a reference to the queen of Sheba, "will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here." Just think about that for a second. Christ is greater than Jonah. Why will the people of Nineveh rise up at the judgment? It's because when Jonah came in and Jonah proclaimed the message, what did the evil, wicked people of Nineveh do? They repented. They listened. They could hear. They could hear that message, and they didn't delay in response. They could hear it, and they wanted something different. They didn't want what the condemnation was saying, or what the punishment, the word that I'm looking for, whatever was coming, that God was going to destroy them. They didn't want that. They wanted something different. And so the people of Nineveh will rise up at the last day. Don't delay. Listen to the message that is proclaimed to you. There's something greater than Jonah. If the people of Nineveh will rise up, then don't be like those who don't listen to the message of Jonah, because something greater than Jonah is here, and that is the message of the kingdom in Christ. Christ is also greater than Solomon. The queen of Sheba left her country, packed up all her stuff. I'd never heard of the word retinue until I read that verse. Of course I've read the passage before, but just maybe not in that translation. But like, you know, it just kind of means a great group of people that she brought along. Anyway, she packed up all of her stuff and she pursued Solomon to hear if what she heard about him was true, all of his wisdom and all of his wealth. From far edges of the earth, she made that journey. If something is greater than Solomon is here, how much more should we be pursuing that wisdom that is in Jesus Christ? Really briefly, Jesus is greater than Solomon. Jesus is the greater wisdom. John 7, verse 37, on the last day of the feast, the great day, this is a feast of festival booths, okay? The last day of the feast, the, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried aloud, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit and whom he had believed. For now this he said about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So Jesus is like that lady wisdom out standing up at the festival crying out, "If anybody has thirst, come to me. Come to me, and out of his heart will flow rivers of water." How long will you hate wisdom? How long will you love simple things? That's the call that Christ was making when he came to proclaim the kingdom. So, where are you this morning? Perhaps you're here and you don't really identify yourself as a Christian. You don't, you just came with a buddy, or you're just kind of checking out church, or maybe you just don't really believe anymore. The message for you is that there is something greater than Solomon here. There is a greater life being given in Jesus Christ. And don't be like, or be like the people of Nineveh, that when they hear about this destruction coming, they repent and they turn towards the source of life. Maybe you've been hurt or burned by some spiritual authority in your life in the past, and so you're just kind of keeping all this Jesus stuff at arm's length. Don't let those people represent Jesus. There's tons of fallible, sinful people out there that can give a bad impression of what Jesus stands for. Jesus came to bring new life to those who needed it. So if you're here this morning, you have not ever come to know this Jesus, I invite you to come talk to one of the elders afterwards, or I'll be up here. For those who are following Jesus, let me tell you where I'm at this morning. This sermon was a great exercise for me to just kind of dive into Proverbs 1 a bit and to look at some of these passages that talk about Christ as a greater wisdom. Well, one of the things that I was deeply convicted about was kind of like that passage I read in Matthew 12 where the Queen of Sheba, she traveled from the far edges of the earth to go hear the wisdom of Solomon. And something greater than Solomon is here. And how sometimes I have a hard time getting up to read my Bible, or I have a hard time finding any amount of time. This greater wisdom that here, that the Queen of Sheba traveled from the far edges of the earth to go here, I have a hard time letting 1% of my day be devoted towards receiving that wisdom. It should not be like that. We're out there pursuing all of these other things in life, all of the wisdom that, or all of the wealth that Solomon went to build up. And Solomon said, that stuff's foolishness. Don't pursue after that. The greater wisdom is here in Christ. How I need to be reminded and reoriented of the beauty that is in Jesus Christ, the wealth that is in Jesus Christ, and the new life that is in Jesus Christ. I'll leave you with this parable of the hidden treasure from Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field when a man found it and covered it up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Jesus is that hidden treasure. And when we find it, we understand and we know his value and his worth, and that nothing else in our life compares to that value and that worth. And so it may be a reminder of us to not just treat Jesus as just like another good thing in our American experience. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? If Jesus is just a good thing amongst all these other good things, you know, going to 30A and having a nice house and all this kind of stuff, like if Jesus is just a good thing that we are just adding to our life, we're missing it. And we don't have it. Amen. There's something greater than Solomon here. I don't want you to leave. If you find yourself kind of like me, and you're like, man, you're right. I have not been valuing Jesus like I ought to. I've been treating this like, you know, a chore that I have to do, or just something small that I need to fit in my day. It does not look like the man who goes and then sells everything that he has so that he can have this treasure in the field. It does not look like that. I don't want you to leave discouraged, because if you can hear this and you want something different, today is the day to turn and to hear the reproof and to turn. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for reminders and times that we're called in your word to wake up. To wake up. We are wasting all of our time and our energy and our resources on things that just, they go away. But one thing that does not go away is you. You are greater than all the wealth. You're greater than great stocks and bonds and a great IRA in return. You're greater than beach houses and great vacations and big houses and swimming pools. And you're just greater than all those things. And if you would just awake us, make our eyes be able to see this. And if we do have the ability to hear, may we hold on to that tight and not let it go. Lord, we love you and we thank you this morning for the reminder of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.